All right, so Colossians 3, if everybody can open up there. All right, let's start with a word of prayer. Lord God, Jesus, thank you for today. We praise you, Lord, for this time. Please, God, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit to understand your word. We need your Holy Spirit to walk out your word. Help us to focus on you, Lord. I pray that you get all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. Please speak to us today. Speak to us on things you've probably already been speaking to us on, and just confirm them today with your word. Please encourage us, exhort us. We just want to serve you, God. Help us to be united closer together as a family in Christ. And pray that you would also bring in people that need to hear the gospel today, God. Your gospel, the good news of salvation through your son, Jesus. So just pray all those things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So a little fun fact about the book of Colossians. This is written by Paul the Apostle. And it is possible that Paul never made it to the church in Colossae, to this church, to the Colossians. He possibly never actually physically made it to this church. Paul, while writing this book, was in prison. Okay, so that's something to also think about. Anybody's been in prison before? No, I'm just kidding. Catherine. But, probably, you know, he was in prison for preaching Jesus. Okay, he was in prison for preaching Jesus. But where was his heart? His heart was to reach out to the churches. So you could see how selfless Paul was, just like Christ, even in his chains, while he was locked up, he was thinking, how can I be a blessing? How can I help these churches? And he's worried because there's a lot of false teaching going on in these churches. And this is something that's happening today. There's a lot of false teaching happening in today's churches. People who are vulnerable. We looked at the book of Jude on Friday night. People who are vulnerable, looking for God, and are being taken advantage of in the name of Jesus. So we need to focus and keep this question in mind whenever we do anything is, what does the Bible say, right? That's one thing that Pastor Drew always would tell us, right? When Catherine and I would go to his couch with Wendy, right, 15 years ago, like, Drew, tell us, are we supposed to go to college or what, am I supposed to get a job? Let's see what the Bible says. And we're like, what are you talking about? Tell us what to do. And we didn't know. We didn't know where it was. Wendy was working in the billing department, right? Before she became a nurse. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go become a nurse? Am I supposed to become a teacher? I'm asking him, what does the Bible say? Oh, so boring. Why are you telling us what the Bible says? You know, let's pray about it. Pray about it. Tell me what to do. But he was teaching us to follow Jesus and not follow him. And he was telling us to rely on the Holy Spirit and not following people. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. And Paul is also trying to exhort and encourage the people here in the church of this church, along with all the other churches he wrote to, and in our church today, what does the Bible say and how is God speaking to us individually? All right. So, Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, those things which are above, where Christ is sitting, at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So, raised here in verse 1 means to raise up together. If we were raised up together from mortal death to a new blessed life dedicated to God. So when does that happen? That happens when we repent, when we say to Jesus. Maybe everybody remembers, maybe some of you don't, but what was the day that you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know you died for my sins. I accept payment for my sins. I know that you died on the cross for all my sins, past and all my future sins. Okay? And what was that day? And that at that moment, we were then born again. right? We're now new creations, all right? Which is very, it's like a mystery. It's like, what does this mean? We're a new creation. But something changed on that day. Something changed. Like, we couldn't go back to the old way things were. Things didn't seem the same. Maybe, you know, I remember going out to the club after getting saved. It didn't feel right. It's not as fun the same. And I just felt torture, like, ugh. So the Holy Spirit starts changing us and telling us, no, yes, no, 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 yes, right? He starts being, we're going to look at it, he becomes the umpire inside of our hearts. He starts saying, strike, ball, can't argue with the umpire, get thrown out. All right, and also to seek, we have to seek. That's in order to find. We're not just randomly praying to a spirit that's just so far out there, but we're seeking in order to find. And God's not so far away that he doesn't have ears, and he could hear us. It's not like these fake idols or things that people pray to, angels and saints. All these things are fake things. This is a living God who can hear us today, and he hears all our prayers. So, in John 3:16, we all know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. AJ, you want to finish that?
Yes.
What is that? John 3:16. Right. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. So on that moment, okay, we're born again. We're now new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay, we might look the same, all right, and we might dress the same, but something is different. Something has changed in us. And our friends look at us like we're the same person that, you know, aren't, how come you don't come out anymore? How come you don't hang out? How come you don't want to do those things? Right, and the Bible talks about that. We don't want to go to those things anymore. Because now we're new creations, right? And we're going to get into a little bit, but what happens is in our Christian walk is that we don't know the power that lives in us. We kind of put it down, or we don't know that we're already freed. Okay, so I imagine if you ever seen like a dog that was like abused or something, right? And they put him in one of the little carts, right? So it, and then they just cower in there, and the door might be open, but they're so used to being in that cage that they don't know how to walk in freedom because they still think that they're going to get abused, okay? And that's how we could be as Christians, is that we don't know the power that's in us. We don't know that now we're new creations. We could start walking in this new life, but we're so used to the old ways because it feels comfortable that we're not walking in this new life. And Paul's trying to exhort us, encourage us to walk in this newness of life. For you died, and your life is hidden, concealed with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Okay? Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So God does do a separation of true Christians or people that just profess to be Christians. Now, we're saved by grace, right? Through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. However, Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is there some change in our life? Are we going to follow Jesus, or are we just going to say this? There should be that conviction, and he's supposed to be Lord. If he is Lord, we follow what the Lord says. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? That's staying in that cage like that dog. Get out. Get out of that cage. We're not in that cage anymore. We're dead to that. Or do you not know that many of us were baptized into Christ? Jesus, were baptized into his death. Again, spiritually and now physically, next week, some of us are going to take, you know, the plunge and come up. It's the picture of death into new life. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. But maybe you struggle. I can't walk in this newness of life. It's too many rules. That was my walk for years. My walk was not, what can I do in order to follow Jesus? It's, what don't I do in order to be a good Christian? It's not a list of, if I don't do these things, I'm good with God. If I do these things, I am good with God. That's my own, I'm become my own God. And there's no walking in that. There's too much condemnation, because every time I mess up, now I'm a bad Christian, and it's like, does God even love me? Right? But in 1 John, it talks about if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not about the works. Okay, the works, it just shows what God's already doing inside of us. So he knows that we're going to sin. He knows that we're going to sin tomorrow, right? But if we don't start walking in the newness of life, then he never really became Lord. And it's just wasting our time. And we're going to get into in Colossians 4, I don't know if we're going to get there, but it talks about redeeming the time, right? Why were we created? What's the purpose? Are we just here to live and to die? That's what brought me to Jesus. I remember being an angry atheist, just thinking, what's the point of life? It seems so stupid. You just live, you get a job, you make money, you die. It just seems so pointless. I'm like, might as well just kill me now. And that's when the thoughts of depression could just come in so easily. Because what's the point? Just hurry up and do it already. But we're here for a reason. You're not an accident, right? God chose you before the beginning of time. So, those who are truly born again will be with Jesus in heaven for eternity. When we're born again, there should be some type of fruit of a life changed. Some type of fruit of a life changed. So what are those fruits? Those are fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Okay? Those things should start pouring out of our lives. There should be some type of change that happens. Colossians 3:5. Therefore, put to death, that means to deprive of power, destroy the strength of, okay, put to death your members, okay, your members, referring, there's a reference in James 4, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? And also the word members are something in reference given over to a harlot. A harlot is a prostitute of the time. So these are sensual things that we just give over. Our members, okay, our hands, our bodies, which are on earth. Fornication. For men and women, fornication, the root word is porneia, okay, where we get the word pornography. It's a lot of times not talked about in church, but it's such a huge thing that affects a lot of, I mean, I thought it was just a man thing, but I find out it's also a woman thing too. It's just a struggle where years ago it was more in a magazine or something. Now it's a click of the phone. And these thoughts that get into our heads, these lead us into places that God never intended for us. They change our views of what marriage is supposed to be, of what a woman's supposed to be, of what sex is supposed to be. And it talks about fornication's illicit sexual intercourse, uncleanness in a moral sense, the impurity of lustful, luxurious with impure motives. Passion can be used for good or bad, but something that consumes the thoughts. These are thoughts that come and consume our minds. They consume our thoughts. And where do actions come from? Where do they start? They start in our brain, right? They start with that one thought that plants a seed. And then we let that thought just go, and it grows until it shows itself in action. We're supposed to take every thought captive before it leads to that. And it's not easy, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So don't be deceived, let's not fool ourselves to think that we can handle some of these temptations, some of these lusts, to think that we could take it to the next step. If you struggle with XYZ, don't get in the presence of X, Y, and Z. Don't get there. Stay away. Even remember when Joseph was approached by Potiphar's wife that he had to flee. Okay. Sometimes we have to run away. Okay. Because in our flesh, we could be very weak. All right, so let's not put, you know, use wisdom. Let's not put ourselves in these situations. So, to finish, and covetousness, which is a greedy desire to have more. Remember, Paul's saying, put these things to death. A greedy desire to have more. And why is that a problem? Because he's calling it idolatry, which is the worship of false gods. Okay, and we've all known that. If we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we know what this is. We're not happy and thankful and joyful for the things God provides for us. There's never real peace because we're always thinking there should be more, right? We go to a friend's house and they have such a nice big house and we're like, I come back to my house. Oh, look at all this. It's gross. How do I even live here? Sorry, kids. Sorry, Bella. Okay. How do you dare live in this house, right? But not being thankful, the fact that we have a house. I remember growing up with no heat, like literally no heat, and going to sleep in the winter with a hat and a winter jacket, and now being thankful for heat, right? But we can miss out on these blessings sometimes when we maybe forget what the alternative could be, and as a result, we're never happy. We're never content because we're always looking for more and more and more. I guarantee you the person who has the big house in a nice neighborhood is thinking about the next big house in a nicer neighborhood. It just doesn't stop. But it's a temptation. You always think that there's going to be more. And if I get it, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be satisfied finally. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Colossians 3:6-7. Because of these things, okay, because of giving ourselves over to those things, the wrath, that's the anger of God, is coming upon the sons of disobedience, people who refuse to turn their ways from those things, in which we can't look down on them. Why? Because it says in verse 7, we were also them, okay, we once walked in them. All right, we might still occasionally walk in them, right? And we have to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit as a warning to say, stop walking in that, because this is only going to lead to destruction. Okay, we can't be used by God when we're caught up in those other things. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in this newness of life. So walk in this newness of life. Colossians 3:8-11. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Okay, so think about these things. Now what's nice is that only God knows the struggles we have with these things. So nobody else here, except for your spouse, and maybe your kids, know, and maybe close friends, or maybe your mom, right? But nobody knows if you really struggle with these things, okay? So as we read these things, understand, I did not write this, and I am not speaking about anyone individually, just sharing the word. But now, you yourselves, put off these things, anger, which is the movement or agitation of the soul, an impulse, desire, any violent emotion, but especially anger. Wrath. Wrath is a passion, angry, heat, anger, forthwith, boiling up and soon subsiding over. Has anyone experienced that? You get so mad, this driver just cut me off, and I will drive this guy off the road, and I don't care what happens to him. And then two blocks later, you're like, okay, wasn't that bad. All right. Malice, wickedness that is not ashamed to break laws. Okay, that's, you know, you're so angry or you want to get your way so bad in something, you don't care what laws you have to break. Okay, if you're doing these things, you have to check yourself with God. Blasphemy, that's slander, detraction, speech injurious to another's good name. Okay, so sometimes that happens where people will just say things about others. People have said things about Pastor Drew who have left the church. They'll say things that I know for a fact aren't true. People have left the church saying that Oh, I don't like that church. They never pray. It's not true. You guys who've been here, we know that we do pray. I think there was a bad Google review or something too. Like, oh, those people. All right. But this is blasphemy. Speaking just slander against people that have for another good name. Filthy language out of your mouth. Oof. I remember being little Alexis's age, 15, and every word out of my mouth was a curse word. If there was any silent moment, it was filled in with a curse. And then it's like I just learned what a curse word was, and I was so excited to use them. And then I got saved, and the weirdest thing happened, and it just went away. And then I hear people using it, and oh, please don't. And then if they ever do come out, it's like, it's a good indication that there's something wrong. Like, okay, this is clearly the flesh. So, filthy language, that's foul speaking, low and obscene speech. All right, so we want to try to stay away from those words. Those are things that the Holy Spirit probably tells us. And it's interesting because I didn't know that we weren't supposed to curse biblically. I didn't know that. And then what's cool about the Holy Spirit is that he'll tell you things, and then maybe later you'll read about in the Bible and you're like, oh, that's why I felt that something was off. It's because the Bible says about the foul speaking. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Okay, so be careful about lying. Okay, that feeling, that consciousness, maybe the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Don't lie to one another. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge and according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So we have to listen to the Holy Spirit and starve the lusts of the flesh that manifest themselves. Meaning, when we're in the flesh, these things are going to come out. We're going to be more angry, easier to be angry. We're going to be easier to be violent towards others. It's going to be easier to start cursing people out. Okay, when we're living in the flesh or saying bad things about each other. All right, even if it seems like it's no big deal. I don't really like the way that thing. All right, all that stuff. We're supposed to build each other up. Okay, we have to be careful about those little subtle things too, right? Where we do it in like a nice way, like I really don't. But we have to be careful because those things will start to just feed the flesh. We are to conform more and more to the likeness of Jesus when we're living in our lives apart from this church. Okay, because everybody, myself included, can all fake nice for 2 hours. And it's exhausting. And I go home and I take a nap from trying to be so nice. And then I get out of here. I take off my shirt, and I get into my regular stained clothes. Keep it down, shit. Right? But we have to live this at home. That's where it becomes real. Okay, these things are at home. Who do people see when we're at home? Who do people see when we are not around others, okay? That is a true witness because that's when stuff gets real. Am I teaching my wife at home? Am I praying with my wife at home? Am I cursing at home? Because guess who that speaks to? That speaks to my children. That tells them, you know, okay, so I'm just supposed to play Christian on Sundays in front of other people, but then I could pretty much do whatever I want all the other days. And that is going to speak way more even than a Bible study because they're going to be watching me. And are they going to see Jesus? Are they going to see love pouring out of my life? And that's when stuff gets real. So in the last part in verse 11, it says, there's no distinction between nationality. There's no distinction between religious upbringing. So is there an excuse? I have Colombian anger. And if I get mad, that's just what it is. I'm Colombian and I'm feisty and that's just what we do. All right. Or, I'm an Irishman. Sorry, this is what we do. We drink. We drink until we fall because we're Irish. All right? There's no place in that in the Bible. Why? Because we're all new creations. Okay? Religious upbringing. You know, I was brought up Jewish. For my life, we were looked upon. I thought my religion was going to save me. I didn't really need to know God because I'm all good because I'm Jewish. But that's not going to save me. That doesn't save me. But that's the mentality that I had. All my friends think that they're God's chosen people because they've heard that. But at the end of the day, are their sins paid for because they're just Jewish? No. It doesn't matter our religious upbringing. Growing up in the church, okay, my son, he's not going to be saved from his sins because he came to church on Sundays. He's not going to be saved from his sins because I am teaching. All right, he's not going to be saved from his sins because of what we do. He's going to be saved of his sins when he confesses and repents to Jesus and starts to follow him as Lord. All right, so religious upbringing. Okay, so he says here, Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised. Barbarian or Scythian refers to your class. It doesn't matter if you're rich. Doesn't matter if you're poor. If you don't have payment for sins, you're not going to heaven. It doesn't matter how many nice things you do, how many fundraisers you do. Unfortunately, it's a nice thing, and it's a moral thing of integrity, which the Bible does talk about doing, but those things will not get you saved. There's only salvation through Jesus. And finally, we're all one in Jesus, and that's what it's all about. That's where it brings us all together. Colossians 12:3-13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. When I went over this last night with my wife, the thought of this, that word, putting on tender mercies, just brought a sense of peace on her. All right. So putting on means your inner being. When dealing with others, think about how can I be tender with this person? How can I show mercy with this person? How can I show kindness? Okay, kindness means moral goodness or integrity. Humility. Okay, humility that's a hard thing to do, being humble. Sometimes though, however, if we're not humble, what happens? We get humbled. And it's a lot more blessed in some ways to be humble than to be humbled. And that's what God will allow to happen to many of us. None of us are exempt from those things. Because he needs us to be usable. He needs us to be soft clay. If we're hard clay, there's nothing he could change. He needs us to be soft so that he could use us. And finally, bearing with one another to hold oneself up. Okay, so bearing with one another means to hold oneself up and firm, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. All right. So First Peter, this is a good encouragement to anybody. Okay. Maybe you've been not living the way that you feel that God's been calling you to live. Okay. Understand this. First Peter 2:9. But you are chosen generation. You are chosen. Look around the room. It's not all just one class. It's not all one color. It's not all one race. It's not all one religion. God chose you. This is not a normal occurrence that happens out of the flesh where you come to church. This is not something the flesh would tell you to do. This is something that the Spirit is encouraging us to do, to be the church, to love one another, to not forsaking the assembling of the brethren, to pray for each other, to use our spiritual gifts. We are chosen. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Do you feel like a royal priesthood? A holy nation. His own special people. You guys are special. We're all special. That we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of the darkness. Did he call us out of the darkness? I know he called me out of the darkness. So close to suicide. Called me out. Called you out. Get away from that old life. Into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now people of God. Before Jesus, we had no purpose. What was the point? What was the point of life before Jesus? There was no point. He's now gave us a purpose to live. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And remember, we were elected. We were chosen. We were not accidents. You are not an accident. It is no accident you're here. It's no accident you heard about the gospel of Jesus and that you accepted him and made him Lord of your life. That's not an accident. When we are to think of Jesus, we think about the man who met the woman in the act of adultery. They caught her in the act of adultery. And when the religious leaders wanted to stone her, he said, "Where are your accusers?" They all left. Okay, it's reported that maybe he wrote down their sins and they all realized that they're all sinners too. And he said, "He without sin cast the first stone." That is the God that we serve. That is the God who loves you. He knows everything you did. Your mom might not know, right? Your wife or your husband might not know. God knows all the sins and he says, "Where are your accusers? They're not here. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more." Start walking the life that God created you to do. You're not an accident. God created you. He showed you the gospel. He shared with you the gospel. He's now given you the Holy Spirit. Now use your life for his purposes. That's why he created us. Colossians 3:14-15. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule. Rule means to be an umpire in your hearts. Umpires, right? Doesn't matter if the ball is at AJ's eyes. If the umpire calls it a strike, doesn't matter how much mom yells from the stands. It doesn't matter. It's still a strike. So when the Holy Spirit tells us something, no matter how much we argue, if God tells us something, that is the peace of God that's supposed to rule in our hearts. Is this from God? Is this not from God? We need to learn to discern the peace of God and the peace of the world, which is way different. To which also you were called in one body, okay, and be thankful. So we're reminded to walk out these things that Jesus asked us to do in love. Okay, so put on love. We're supposed to put on love. We're not doing it as lip service. We're not doing it as a checklist. Again, the way that we could live our Christian life is a checklist. Did I read my Bible today? One chapter. All right. Did I pray today? Right. Thank you, God, for today so much. Amen. Okay. That is not putting on love. Okay. That's, you know, we're not really trying to even hear from God. We're just doing a checklist of things that we have to do, you know, to make ourselves feel better. But we're supposed to put on love, look for God. The peace of God is different than the world gives. I think we've realized that, right? The peace of God will let us know if things we do and say, even say, "Ugh, why'd I say that?" All right? It was the will of God. Okay? And sometimes we have to be even open and kind of humble enough to say sorry if we messed up, right? Even especially to each other. "Sorry I said that," or "I hope you didn't think I was trying to say this," or whatever. All right, we need to first learn how to discern the peace of God and then be obedient to follow after. It's so easy, right? Everybody, just do that. But it's so hard, right? It's like so easy and so hard. Because in our flesh, we always think we might be able to add something else to it. It's like, this seems so simple. Just follow God. But then we try to add little things to it. And I'll explain kind of what I mean on that. Colossians 3:16-17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it is important to read the Word of God daily and to actually try to make it part of your daily you know, routines. Not that you do that to obtain righteousness, but that when we are feeding our spirit, it's so crazy how God will bring remembrance of scriptures through us, to us throughout our day. When we have different decisions to make, God will remind us of scriptures. He'll bring up to remembrance these scriptures. And if we're not getting them in, it's kind of hard then to actually remember them or bring them to remembrance if we never got them in. So a lot of churches, they're not teaching the Bible. They're teaching of ways to act in life. How to be a good husband, be a good person, be a good husband, be a good wife, you know, be this or that. But what does the Bible actually say? And it's the Bible that will actually, you know, God's word, he has the power, and it will come to remembrance. What am I supposed to do? And in all things, like, the Bible touches on every part of our lives, every single part of our lives. It's not just, you know, a church book. This is, who am I supposed to get married to? This is, how am I supposed to treat my wife? This is, how am I supposed to treat my kids? How am I supposed to treat my parents? What type of employee am I supposed to be? What type of boss am I supposed to be? Everything is found here in the Bible. From the most mundane things to, like, our finances, right? So simple. Like, how easy is it to get into debt when we don't follow what the Bible says, right? So it's all things. He works all things to good to those who believe and are called according to his purpose. And it's good to know that even in those tough times, even maybe, and I've been there, how many of us have wasted those times where we got involved in things we shouldn't have, and we think, why did you allow me to even get there? Or is there even any plan for me through that? Well, the good thing is that he allows these things to happen. He allows us to go through those struggles in order to teach us and to work good out of them when we believe and we're called according to his purpose. So don't think that you let God down. You didn't surprise God by doing any of these things. He's not thinking up in heaven, man, I really wish I didn't choose this person. This person is whack. All right? He's thinking, okay, I'm allowing this person to go through this trial. I'm going to have victory in this person's life. And now people are going to see Jesus. He's going to see God through this person and through those mistakes. And that's why God allows those things to happen sometimes. But should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Colossians 3:18. Wives. Oof. Do we have enough time for this? All right. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. So there is an order that God has given in our households. I remember having debates with Pastor Drew in his house at 23. Me and Catherine would come through and say, what? This is sexist. What? Women are just supposed to cook and clean all day? And this is when my wife was a high-powered financial advisor at Merrill Lynch, driving her little BMW with her little business suit. She's like, no, blasphemy. Ah. And the men are to be leaders. The men are to be leaders. But this is not sexist. As a man, we are to lead our wives. We're to protect them. We're to die for them. Have their best interest in mind. As a man, we're to teach our wives. Lead by example. And serve them. Now, if women were told to submit to a man who wanted to lead you, protect you, die for you, has your best interest in mind, and will do anything to serve you and love you, is that a man that you're willing to follow? Unfortunately, men are not doing that. So, now with that being said, it's easier for a wife to submit to her husband, but men are not stepping up and doing their part, so women see this void, and they may feel they have to fill it, but now both are performing a function in which they were not supposed to. And there's disorder. And we see that in our society. We see that in homes. Let's say there's a husband who's encouraging their wife to do things that are befitting of a Christian. The woman, not befitting. Like, let's say the husband's saying, why are you going to church so much? Come on. Like, let's go to the beach. Or, you know, why? Stop reading the Bible. It's an old book. Now, in that moment, you need to submit to God instead of your husband. But in other things, submit to your husband. When the woman has an unbelieving husband or vice versa, The Christian is accountable to God first and should be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is telling them to do. And guess what? When the unbelieving husband or wife sees the believing husband or wife, they're going to be convicted. And God can use that in the household to be a living witness of a life submitted to Jesus. So as a result, their actions as a Christian will minister to them, and we hope that that unbelieving husband or wife will come to Christ. In practicality, I don't think this looks like a man just doing whatever, sitting on the couch and yelling at the wife, you know, get my drink, I'm hungry. There needs to be communication where the couple becomes one, and they pray together on different issues. And I've also seen there's a place for letting the Holy Spirit just work in the marriage, but that's hard to do when, you know, if someone's unbelieving. And also, so it also talks about in Ephesians 5:22, husbands, love your wife and do not be bitter towards them. Okay, this is, remember, again, the Bible touches on all parts of life, all parts of life. In Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing water by the word. Washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it, cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So I'm supposed to love my wife and nourish her just as much as I love to maybe shave my head with precision, right? And put on deodorant and put on nice clothes and whatever else I'm going to do to my flesh to dress it up. I need to do that towards my wife. I need to teach her. I need to build her up. I need to show her the Bible. I need to show her love, what it is. And then I'm going to present her like Jesus does to us. We're his bride. So the same thing, God teaches us the Bible. He's going to present us and put us out there like, hey, this is my church. Isn't she beautiful? I'm going to do that for my wife. I'm going to present her as a beautiful woman of Christ, all right? And that's what a men, that's our focus. We need to do that for our wives. And also, men, we could be sensitive, right? So if we're not given the space to lead, a big word for men is being disrespected. We don't want to be disrespected. And what can happen as a result is we could become bitter and inward, all right? So wives, look out for that too, where if your husband, you find him not talking, maybe you're getting withdrawn, maybe there's a place where they become bitter, all right? So this is something that needs to be brought to the light before the future result, which can be divorce or things that are just, you know, anger and all these thoughts come. And of course, temptations come. Co-worker, I think you're so smart. I don't know what your wife sees. I think you're the best, right? If, all right, that bitterness though, right, that can break up marriages. We want to bring this stuff to light and we want to deal with it now. And it starts, you know, with communication and bringing God into it. Bring in the children. Children! Yes. Obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Okay. Children are to listen to their parents, what they say, and this is actually makes God happy. You want to make God happy, listen to what your parents are saying. This is training for them that eventually they're going to follow what God says. Of course, if the parents are asking their children to miss church every week and watch cartoons with them, then they should be listening to God first. And this is good for me to know. Fathers and moms, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Okay, discouraged means to be disheartened, dispirited, or broken in spirit. Okay, this is something, thankfully, the Bible talks about, and I have to watch myself, because as a parent, I could get frustrated. And I could start talking passive aggressively. Good job. Way to be. It's the fifth time today. You're going to get it today or what? Okay, that is provoking them. Okay, and what does that lead to? Discouragement, disheartening, broken in spirit. So I have to build up my children with my words. As a teacher, we use a term called scaffolding. Okay, scaffolding. That means where we help the students where they are, and we try to get them to the next level. What happens if the work is too hard for the kids? They shut down. If the work is too easy, you'll probably find them just running around the room and doing spitballs or something, right? So we have to find where our children are at and then help them get to another level. And I know I'm guilty of expecting my children to know too much, because sometimes they impress me with what they understand, and I expect too much and I think that they know better. But I have to remember to give a reason why after just the request. Okay, I think that's part of the communication of this is why we do this and so forth. We're coming to a close here. I just wanted to finish the chapter. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So employees, listen to your bosses. Okay, so this is something, again, the Bible talks about everything in our lives. If you're going to be an employee, listen to your boss and do a good job. Not just when they know you're going to come check in. I know when I get observed from my principal, you know, I put a few little extra bells and whistles, but I want to have all my lessons in school, or I want to have all my grades done, not just when I know I'm going to be looked at, but to have the mindset that you work for God. Your God is your employee. God is your employer. And when you do a good job, you're doing it for God. When you're working, you're not angry. Oh, I got to work. But you're doing it for God. Everything's for God. And when you do that, then what's kind of cool about it is God's happy, right? You know you're being a diligent worker. And not only that, God's going to reward you openly. And now you're going to probably get pushed into a position of leadership, which will only give you more ways to glorify God. And maybe even chances to witness to others. So if you're working the same as others and people know that you're a Christian, you're slacking off, you're giving a bad witness to about Christians. Okay? If you're being unfair, if you're being shady with the way you work, if you're stealing or doing things like that and they know you're a Christian, you're giving a bad witness. All those things God will use, and also the devil will use to magnify of this person's a Christian, we are supposed to be different. Remember, we're a royal priesthood, right? We're set apart. We're holy. And then, just to touch on the other end, even though it's chapter 4, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So now for the business owners, it's important not to cut corners and be fair to your vendors and employees. Don't try to shortchange them. Don't try to do things that will avoid paying taxes to the government. Because what ends up happening typically, too, if you try to be shady, is that somehow along the way it comes back to get you. And then you wonder, oh, God, how come you're not opening this door for me? But meanwhile, you were shady. Now you're not eligible to get things you were supposed to because you wanted to cut ways and cut corners. So we have to be fair and just, live by the laws of the land. As long as, unto God first, but living by the laws of the land. All right. And that's it for today. So finally, I just want to encourage you guys, if you take away a few things today that I hope the Lord spoke to you, that meditate on those things throughout the week. And if there's any, if you need, clarification or need help with any of those things, that's what the body is for. Okay, that's what people are here for. And you never, nobody's above prayer. Nobody's above sins and struggles. And that's why we're here. We need each other. And if we don't open up to each other, then, who are we going to open up to? People that are not going to understand the same. So, use the body of Christ to support each other. All right. So I'm just going to close us in prayer and then we'll leave for today. Lord God, thank you for today. We praise you for your word. We give you all glory and honor. Please bring to remembrance some of these things that we went over today. Please burn in our hearts the message that you're trying to speak to us individually. We know your Holy Spirit's always speaking to us. We pray for everyone here today that you would let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Help us to submit to the Holy Spirit who wants to conform us more into your image, Jesus. Please convict us of sin and help us to follow you, God, all of our life. Please use us, God, and help us to be used for the reason why we were created on this earth. Help us to walk, Lord. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.